introduces a new dimension in sound.
From Cavalier Basketball.
LeBron watching with 7, with 6, with 5.
Who else but LeBron?
LeBron to the circle, unloads. Got it!
I think he preferred a King.
To Indians Baseball.
Swung in and belted. To deep left. Away back. Goal!
To Browns Football.
Back in the pocket. Steps up. Goes into the end zone. Up high. Braylon Edwards up. Got it. Touchdown!
This is the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast.
Oh, well, welcome into the first inaugural podcast since the last inaugural podcast. It's been a really long time. Rick and I just listened to the full opener, what used to be there, and it had some LeBron and some Braylon Edwards in it. So I think it might be time for a new opener. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to have to put somebody to work on a new open for us. Because for all we know, that was a Grady Sizemore home run in the call, and that's just not gonna fly going forward.
So we'll leave it in this time, but that's the last time you're going to hear that specific opener. It's just the only one we tend to have around. But so anyway, this is our first podcast, not over phone lines, and we're actually in the same physical space, which, you know, should be good for everybody in terms of audio quality, and hopefully it means we can do these things a little more frequently. I know the people who did like these like them a lot, so we're hoping to get them out there and do them and have Scott around and TD, so it should be kind of fun. But today, I guess tonight, we've got the Browns playing the most meaningless preseason game they've probably ever played, because there will be no starters whatsoever playing.
For either team, as far as we know.
Yeah. So if you're hoping to see Jay Cutler or Julius Peppers, good luck. Good luck. I don't think Brian Urlacher has even played at all this preseason.
Probably not, and there's a good chance you might not even catch him on the sideline, to be honest with you. I mean, someone probably stayed in Chicago.
So lucky for us, we get to talk about Rick's favorite topic, Colt McCoy.
Oh, man.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, you've just been – it's your least favorite topic, and you've been railing against all the talk about it. And I kind of get it, but on the other side of it, it doesn't seem like there's an actual controversy. It seems like everybody knows Brandon Whedon's going to play. So why not talk about Colt McCoy? I don't want to trade him personally.
Well, I don't necessarily want to trade him for a seventh-round pick, which is probably all we get for him either. But my point is that why are we talking about – I mean, we are – the area, the media, and the fans themselves are the ones creating this controversy. I don't really think there's any controversy in the clubhouse, so to speak, as to who the starting quarterback is. And, you know, whether or not you, for some reason, think that Colt McCoy is better than Brandon Whedon, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the Browns are going with Brandon Whedon, and so he's going to be the quarterback. I just think for the importance.
Well, but I don't think anybody thinks there's a controversy, so it's just a topic of conversation. Maybe Chuck Boone thinks there's a controversy. He wants to look at QB ratings in the preseason to decide who the starter's going to be. But I don't think any of the fans disagree. I think it comes down to, should we trade him, should we not trade him, should he be released, should he not be released. And
it's just a tired topic to me.
Yeah.
I'm tired, I'm weary. Physically weary every time I turn on the radio, and that's what I'm hearing. I can't stand it anymore. I turn off the radio and turn on music because I cannot stand to hear the controversy and Bob Fermenter calling in to talk about how, you know, Colt McCoy looked really good against the Saints 2 years ago.
Well, and honestly, the there certainly is a lack of originality to those phone calls. That, you know, he wasn't given a shot. Yeah, okay. Got it.
Right.
Yeah, that's been beaten into the ground. Probably true. So what? Who cares?
Yes, let's just move on. You know, I mean, it's I don't know. And then, but then now we've got the second most talked about controversy the last couple of days is, why is Brandon Whedon not playing? Right. And that's
right.
All, you know, that's all anybody wants to talk about right now.
Well, I wrote about it. Are you criticizing me?
I'm not criticizing you. What I'm saying is, I don't understand. And I could go either way. Honestly, I could
right.
see him playing some. I understand the idea of sitting him because of the risk of injury. And I also understand, you know, those that want to see him play, how much do you want to see him play tonight? Are you calling for him to play two series, like a usual, you know, fourth preseason game quarterback might play two series or one series? how much is Brandon Whedon really going to learn about being an NFL quarterback in one preseason series against the Bears' backup players?
Yeah, the marginal increase in ability that he could gain in this game isn't huge. At the same time, I wonder if it would help them hit the game running a little bit better in week one. And obviously we won't know. We'll have a healthy Brandon Whedon in week one, presumably, because he's not playing tonight. And maybe that's part of it too. It's not about Brandon Whedon. Maybe it's, and I put this in my article, maybe it's more about resting Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. And maybe it's more about seeing Brandon Whedon for the first time in week one with a healthy Trent Richardson. And that's a name that, man, I wish we'd heard more of. And that's going to be the make or break for Brandon Whedon in his first year. I think most people agree.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing with Brandon Whedon, you're going to have to evaluate him over the course of this entire season. And if we're honest, that's probably only going to be, if we're looking at the average starting quarterback, you know, for the Browns plays in a year, 12, 14 games. I mean, at best 14, I'm guessing. You know, I don't think anybody's going to assume that he's going to be perfectly healthy for all 16, because it just doesn't happen.
Well, in terms of having a rookie quarterback, don't you kind of agree you don't look at him game by game? You have to say, all right, well, I'm going to take the first 4 to 6 games and look at them as a block, right, and I'm going to look to see progress from week to week to week. Because if you're sitting there looking for him to come firing out of the gate as the guy he's going to be, you might be disappointed. Or conversely, if he comes out and he does amazingly against Philly, you can't expect him to do that for the entire season. He's a rookie. He's going to have some bad games.
And rookies all have consistency issues, absolutely. They have to learn how to play at a high level, you know, week after week after week, and that takes time to learn. And, you know, to your point, if Brandon Whedon is still having problems holding on to the football while being sacked in week 14, now we're having a discussion. You know, now that's a legitimate issue. I'm not worried about it in you know, preseason game number 3.
Which brings us straight back to the first point that, you know, how are we going to go about talking about this team from on a week-to-week-to-week basis? You know, it's going to be very hard to keep, and I'm not saying this as we do it better than anybody else. I get caught up, too, on game day. It's very tough, but we're going to do our best to try and maintain that 10,000-foot view.
Sure, and that's what you have to do. It's not, oh, you know, that was a bad play by Brandon Whedon. He sucks. You know, it's, oh, wow, that was a bad play by Brandon Whedon. He needs to learn on that one.
It's the best and worst thing about Twitter, the best and worst thing about sports talk radio, is the micro-analyzing of a single game, a single play, trying to draw conclusions. If you're not making predictions and drawing conclusions, you're almost left out in this media world.
Yeah, and it's so difficult. You know, as you know, Craig, as you've written about the team, it's so difficult to write a piece immediately following the result, you know, because we're fans first, right? And so we're watching this hoping for the best, hoping that the Browns win, and, you know, hoping that their players do well. And so immediately after a loss or a bad play or a bad decision or some type of bad result, we have that emotion as well. And so for us, it's, all right, let's back out of this now, you know, let's rewatch the game from an analytical standpoint and see, all right, what exactly went wrong, and is that a symptom of something that's going to be lingering, or is that something that can fix?
But no matter what happens, if they lose and you write, well, you know, some perspective, it wasn't such a bad, are you taking a moral victory out of a loss? It's all about wins and losses. Do you work for them in Berea? You know, we get all of those kinds of things. No matter what opinion you have, it just doesn't seem to be good enough, because there's always another side. It's very hard. If you're too critical, then you're not being fair. If you're not critical enough, you work for the team. And it's very hard. When you've got a fan base this passionate, it's very, very difficult.
Sure. And obviously, you know, a passionate fan base is what we like and we appreciate, because that means they have an appetite, you know, for things. And let's face it, I mean, you and I know responses after a tough loss or even a ridiculous loss are always in number more plentiful than after a good win or a good performance. You know, it's just, it's the nature of the game. But I long for the days when we have you know, fewer comments because the team is just rolling along and trucking other teams.
Yeah. Well, and let's change topics a little bit. Let's go straight inside waiting for next year and talk about the pregame. Because the last few years we've done the Browns will win if, and it just became a mockery. It became a parody of itself because it was like, well, if they can win in the trenches, if they can dominate the line of scrimmage, if they can somehow find a way to win the turnover battle or the special teams right. battle, this team will have a chance to win.
Yeah, and the best was, you know, round week 12, 13, 14. Those pieces got so hard to say anything whatsoever, A, positive, or B, productive about what was going to happen that year.
If Peyton Hillis is healthy this week, how many times do we...
How many times is Peyton Hillis and healthy written in the same thing? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So we're not going to do it this year.
If Colt McCoy can stay upright.
So that's the big announcement, I guess, is that we're going to have the pregame post, but it's not going to be the Browns will win if. We've talked about adding in a little more... interaction. Yes. Yeah, interaction with the fans. We're going to probably put up a poll and try and keep it interesting. We're not going to say, do you think the Browns will win? Do you think the Browns will score? How many points will they score? Because really, when you get down to predicting scores, I mean, we make fun of it and we still do it. And so I kind of want to get away from the stuff that we think is a little bit silly. Because to sit there and try and say, well, the Browns are going to win 27-23, and they're going to score a last-minute, you know, enough, yeah. enough.
Well, and I guess if we're talking a little bit about coverage, the winners and losers piece that we do immediately the day following a game is going to continue. We started in the preseason here, and I think it's a feature that that gives the readers a chance to really, you know, express their opinion. You know, as I've gone through and started those, you know, I could have listed 25 people, you know, right. and given some kind of take on it. But I think it's more important to let the readers have a spot to give their take after the game and what players impressed them and what players didn't impress them.
And it's a way to do a little bit of micro analysis without saying, well, this team sucks or this yeah. team yeah. is great.
Yeah, a one word or a one sentence answer of you know, Brandon Whedon sucks is not going to cut it in those posts. You know, you're going to have to tell us why. What exactly about him makes you think that his level of suck is high? That's right. what I want to hear.
Or, you know, Josh Gordon didn't have the numbers, but he seemed to be completing his routes this week or something. You know, you can really get into the important stuff because obviously if we're just getting down to wins are good and losses are bad with this team, it's going to be a rough year.
Absolutely.
All things being equal.
And we joke about comments and you know, things that are mentioned, but we really do have you know, a significant number of intelligent readers on our site that have something to add to the conversation. And so by giving, you know, a place for everyone to give their take, you know, you're going to be able to weed through the ones that, you know, you can tell right away. You're just, all right, great, thanks for your 2 cents. But, you know, there's going to be some guys in there that you're going to want to read their takes on.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, you know, if we set the table for positivity and negativity where it's constructive, I think everybody benefits and everybody enjoys reading it. Because it, right. if it turns into a flame war, which so many comment sections turn into, even when people follow our comment policy and don't swear, sometimes they get after right. each other a little bit. And we'd like to, if we create that template, you know, we can avoid some of that stuff, which is good.
And, you know, I mean, let's face it, we're all hoping that we have some more positive things to talk about this year. And especially on offense, there should be. There really should be more positive things to discuss.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun season to watch because the Browns have a new owner and because we're going to be looking to see, you know, nobody's giving Pat Shurmur a mulligan, but nobody's sitting here trying to tell you he had a good rookie campaign as a head coach. And now he's got all the excuses are gone. He's got coordinators up and down. He's got staff. There even was a mysterious guy kind of standing next to him all preseason. I'm not sure if he was giving him visual cues or what, but it seemed to be somebody to help him coordinating the game. And so I think I kind of put a midseason deadline as to forming an opinion on Shurmur as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, no matter what you thought of Brad Childress as a head coach, I think having him as an offensive coordinator can be nothing but helpful.
Yeah, and it's just like Romeo Crennel. None of us want Romeo Crennel as a head coach. Apparently they do in Kansas City. But I think to a man, anyone would have taken Romeo Crennel as a coordinator. And I think the same, it's kind of like the same with Childress.
Yeah, and it's funny, you mentioned Crennel. I actually saw on, I believe it was SI.com, their experts predicting, you know, MVP and all that kind of stuff.
Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, one vote for Romeo Crennel. I kid you not. Could not believe my eyes.
As somebody who really, really has bought into the Belichick tree.
They really like Kansas City. I think that's what that is.
So anyway, we're closing in on the 15-minute mark, and I think we're going to try and keep these things a little bit short. And I know we only talked about the Browns, but trying to do some kind of a comprehensive...
I'm sorry, did anybody want us to talk about the Indians?
Yeah, or the Cavaliers, for that matter. But, you know, these things, we're going to try and keep them quick. We're going to try and keep them a little more frequent, and they may not be comprehensive, touching on every single sport. But, I don't know, hope you like them. Hopefully we can keep them up.
And make sure you leave some feedback for us and let us know what kinds of things you're looking for, what you want us to hear, any questions that you'd like us to address, anything about waiting for next year itself, you know, not necessarily.
Yeah, inside baseball.
Let us know. Let us know.
Yeah, and be sure to check out our new T-shirts. We're really happy to be working with the GV Art. What's their full name?
GV Art and Design.
GV Art and Design. They did a great job on those shirts, and we're proud to have them out there, and we want you to check them out. So. With that, this is Craig Lindell.
And this is Rick Rayshock.
And this has been the first of hopefully many Waiting for Next Year podcasts.